I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
5 o'clock. Congratulations on getting through your job, unless you're just getting there and working the night shift. Congratulations to you anyway. I'm Jay Binkley, along with Kramer Sansone, CDOT, Sean Levine, Rob Brenton. The Three Amigos, back on Monday, taking a few days off. Crane Dog, let's have some hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
I would love to hit Kramer, by the way.
All been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
I'd like to see you try to hit me, Binkley, from this glass over
Bring
here.
Bring it like you're singing.
MLB.com's Royals insider Jeff Flanagan joined the show earlier. And a question we asked him was about the young rookies in the taxi squad situation.
We don't know exactly how the roster is going to play out. We're definitely going to have an expanded roster, whether that's going to be 29 or 30. You're going to have a taxi squad. So you very well may see some of those guys that you mentioned anyway. And I think the guys that are probably going to have, I don't know this for a fact, I don't want to speak online, but I'm guessing they'll probably be allowed to open up the surprise facilities and have guys, work out down there, have inter-squad games, all, of course, with the proper health protocols and everything like that to make sure everyone's healthy and safe. But I think they'll be able to work out some of those guys. But, yeah, for the majority, not having a minor league system, boy, that sets some of their development way back. And it's a rotten shame, but that's the times we live in right now.
Now, Binkley, with the taxi squad of the player development, which players would you like to see on that taxi squad, and how will the development happen or go?
I think it's kind of exciting because there are some guys on the doorstep of Major League Baseball that might not be on that doorstep had it been a regular season. I thought Brady Singer was already going to make this roster. But Jackson Coar, that was in AA last year, very effective he was. Daniel Lynch, Chris Bubich. I think Kyle Isbell's the guy that would have Nick Heath. Another guy that I think fits perfectly with the Royals. And here's the interesting thing. Is we've seen reports that the Major League Baseball has a taxi squad. It's got to be within 100 miles. And like I told you, baseball's a marathon and not a sprint. But here's the thing, Kramer. Sometimes you just got to go along with it. So I would go along with it because I like sports and I'm glad we have it. Because beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So you can enjoy the taxi squad. The Royals really needed this year for development. For some of their young pitchers, that's the part that stinks. Here's the question, though. If they do train at Kauffman Stadium, which I do believe they would, what would happen? Would you bring in the Cincinnati Reds for four games or the Cards for four games? Or how about this? How about a roster full of collegiate players from Kansas and Mizzou scrimmaging the Royals? How about hacks like Kramer Sansone going out there from Division II land and playing against the Royals? We're going to see a lot of inter-squad. There's probably a lot of the taxi squad versus the Royals. I mean, you got to find somebody to play, don't you? Can't simulate it all on MLB The Show. Although we'd like to.
Two.
From the Lawrence Journal World, Matt Tate, as they obtained a copy that the NCAA sent in because of Bill Self, has says, according to the purpose of this letter is to formally put NCAA on notice of Mr. Self's current and prospective claims against the NCAA relating to the NCAA's infractions investigation of KU's men's basketball program and Mr. Self. Without limiting Mr. Self's claims, he's considering bringing legal action against the NCAA. Bink, how big is this for Bill Self to try to do something to help him out in his cause?
Bill Self might have just become the most popular man in sports. Think about this. Everybody hates the NCAA and some of their stupid rules. Do you know how many coaches would have his back? Do you know how many players that haven't been paid for playing college athletics? You know how many football coaches would support this? Nobody likes the NCAA. Matter of fact, the college football playoffs has nothing to do with the NCAA. Bill Self going after the NCAA? Let's do it, man. This is good news. I don't like the NCAA, do you? I think they're a joke. And I think Mark Emmert's a joke. And they need to run college sports differently because it's a joke. And you know why it's a joke? It's a joke that you have a Division III women's tennis player in California that washed her car on campus and had to pay back the water. That, my friend, is the NCAA. Go for it, Bill.
Three. Mitch Holthus joined Fesco in the morning the other day, and he said this about this as being the best Chiefs of all time, best Chiefs team of all time.
Man, it's hard to argue against it. Again, I hearken back to the days of the Lanier's and Bell's and Dawson's and Strams and that late 60s, early 70s team that seemed like the 1971 longest game ever ended their run. I mean, that was the end of those guys. And it seemed like there should have been more gas in the tank. That's what I'm saying. I wish there was a 30 for 30 on 72 through 80, basically what happened to the Chiefs. But that being said, I think it's hard to argue against the present time and considering the circumstances, the personalities that are involved, and their abilities. Because you have, in the case of Pat and Tyron, guys who are, in Pat's case, the top of the league at their position, and Tyron's really close. If not at the top, he's in the top five. And yet they have the depth of character to be able to deal with the issues of the day and the internal issues in the locker room and around the facility and do it in a way that the CEO of Cerner or Garmin has to approach it. That's the same way with Andy. I've talked about him for months with you guys, and I'll talk about him for months and years to come because he could be CEO of those companies. Well, Pat and Tyron could too. Now, that's when it's unique. But then there's a bunch of other guys with talent here to take it seriously. But I think right now there's a three-headed Mount Rushmore. We'll put Clark up there, and then you've got your Mount Rushmore of those four guys as far as leadership and what they provide beyond football. And yet they're excellent at football. So you check both boxes.
Now, Bink, is this the greatest Chiefs of all time?
You know, it's hard to argue with Mitch, and I'll say this because you and I see things differently. I'm 47, you're
23.
And we're two different generations. You know, you're from the Tide Pod eating generation. I'm from an older generation.
And we drink those smoothly, by the way.
Yeah, and it's tough, but Mitch, knowing Mitch, he's such a fan of history. Look, you ask Mitch any question. He knows history. Military history, doesn't matter. Mitch will know it. And I think he's a student of the game. He's a studier of the game. He's one of the best in the business, to be honest with you. So it's hard not to say what Mitch went with. But we'll see if this team could do it again. Because as I mentioned, 9 future Hall of Famers were on that first Chiefs Super Bowl team. 6 of them from an 11-man defense. Imagine 6 players on your defense in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, including one of the best football players ever to play college and pro football in Bobby Bell. Willie Lanier, still one of the greatest linebackers. I get it, different time and day, different era. Like Mahomes, of course these guys today would beat that team. But this team has a chance to be special because I do believe you're seeing Hall of Famers on this team. As I mentioned, Mahomes would be, all the other guys, 12 guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame that have won an NFL MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. 3 of them are locks that can't be in there yet, obviously, with Manning and Brady and Rodgers. But Mahomes would be the only one. Andy Reid's a surefire Hall of Famer, and Travis Kelce has stated his case. But again, I got to defer to Mitch, I suppose, because he is a fan of history.
With star safety Jamal Adams of the New York Jets requesting a trade, this is per Adam Schefter, there is at least 7 teams that the Pro Bowl safety Jamal Adams would welcome him. And one of the 7 teams is the Kansas City Chiefs. How likely are the Chiefs to pull off a move to get this safety?
Slim and none. Jamal Adams, obviously the Chiefs are going to be on anybody's list. People want to come play here. This is seen. They win. Ask Terrell Suggs how much fun he had here in Kansas City. Oh, you want me to go from Arizona? I wouldn't do anything. You go to the Chiefs, get a ring, play with Pat Mahomes and Frank Clark and the Honey Badger. Mahomes, come on. This has become the place to be, the place to play. Mahomes has made this fun, and your coach is Andy Reid. It doesn't surprise me, but I don't think they'd make that move for safety, considering there's so much other fish to fry for the Kansas City Chiefs. I like Jamal Adams, but I don't know.
That'll conclude the hits for this Thursday.
And we'll talk to Kent Swanson here in a few minutes as we've been doing 5:15. Let's talk Chiefs. Yesterday was Craig Stout, defensive mind, arrowheadpride.com. We'll talk about Jamal Adams when Kent Swanson joins us in a little bit. I had a myriad of things to talk about, Kramer, and I told you I woke up to I do every morning. I listen to Bob and Josh and Ryan on Fesco in the morning. I enjoy it. I enjoy getting my fill of what I missed the night before, or what I didn't miss, or hear the discussions they have. And one thing that I really like is having the former Royals on that were on that 2015 World Championship team and hearing the memories and hear these guys talk about it. And we've seen the homecomings before. We saw how much this meant to Lorenzo Cain when he came back from the Brewers and had his little talk in the dugout. We've seen how much this meant to Ben Zobrist when the Cubs came back. We get to meet with Ben. We would have seen it with Hosmer, with the Padres, that were going to come to the K this year. Probably not at this point. But we've seen the homecomings come back. And just the Greg Holland, the Rockies, we've seen him come back as well. And hearing some of the stories were just great. And one of my favorite stories was, all right, so the Royals had partied all night. Anything that involves Johnny Gomes, I want to hear again. This is Johnny Gomes and what he said to Hosmer on the bus before they flew back to Kansas City.
Next morning, we had a 7 o'clock bus to catch our flight back to Kansas City and all that. So we get on the bus, and, you know, I start to go lean my head back, try and get a little nap before the plane. And Johnny Gomes just comes walking right up to me and smacks me right in the chest. And he's like, hey, man, champs don't sleep, and hands me two beers. And he's like, let's go. Let's get after it.
See, that's a legend I had never heard. Heard about Johnny Gomes' great speech after they won the World Series. And I'm telling you, when we talk about recognition, how many kids do you think were at the Royals parade when Johnny Gomes got up and made his speech because he wasn't on the postseason rosters? How many people do you think knew who Johnny Gomes actually was? But the players did. It was the right fit at the right time. Again, they found the right pieces to be on this team. Here's something else I didn't know. I knew that the Royals had certain beef with certain teams, and I thought it was great the Royals are standing up for themselves. But I didn't realize they had to change their entrances to not get in fights with the opposing team. He's Eric Hosmer.
We don't feel like we're getting respect on the field from any of these teams, so we're just going to challenge these guys as men and see how that goes. And you know, we got into a lot of scuffles that year. The best part about that year was, you know, we started having to leave the visiting stadiums, and they started having to make exits for us. You know, White Sox, we couldn't go past their visiting locker room and wait for the bus, so they had to park the bus out in center field, and we had to go that way. So they started setting up different exits for us. And but the White Sox fight to me was awesome because Kane was so fired up when that happened. And I just remember, you know, Samardzija running in, and he was yelling for Kane, and all of a sudden you hear Kane just hear, man, I don't like you. I'm looking for you. Let's go. And we were like, man, Kane's like the nicest guy in the world, and all of a sudden this brought out a different energy in Kane that we saw, and I think that fired everybody up just seeing that.
How about the Royals? Never heard that. They had to put the buses at that past center field so they didn't get in another fight with the White Sox. Now it's time to shift gears to the Kansas City Chiefs with one of the foremost experts on Patrick Mahomes. He's arrowheadpride.com's very own, although I will say this, Craig Stout got recognized by Football Morning in America. Kent Swanson, the next guest, has yet to be. Good afternoon, Kent.
Yeah, I don't hold a candle to one Craig Stout. It's very apparent. It's very apparent to the world now. Congratulations to Craig. His star has never been brighter. And I'm happy for my pal.
All right, Kent, let's go through some things because we got something new to talk about, something fresh, and I wasn't going to go this direction this quickly, but I will. Jamal Adams, we have a tweet from Patrick from at Painting Corner. Obviously a baseball fan, but hi, please talk about what jersey number options for Jamal Adams. explain Thornhill Math, Matthew and Jamal. Thorn Math Jamal is going to look like. Jamal Adams, I just too pie in the sky for me.
Yeah, you know, it's news, Bink, and we need news around here.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's really not been much going on. It sounds like the Chiefs are one of the seven teams per Adam Schefter that Jamal Adams would welcome a trade to. It's fascinating, but I tend to agree with you. I don't want to just dampen people's spirits, but here's the reality. The Chiefs have one of the highest paid safeties in the National Football League already in Tyrann Mathieu. He's probably going to be due for a small extension here in the near future. That's going to probably make him one of the highest paid safeties in football, if not the highest paid safety in football when it all comes time. Jamal Adams also wants to be the highest paid safety in football. So if you've got two massive safety contracts, I don't know if that's good business. And we don't know what's going to happen with Chris Jones, if they're able to get a deal done with him, but it just does not make a ton of sense for this football team to try to add another thick contract at safety, even though, admittedly, it would be a lot of fun to watch Jamal Adams, Juan Thornhill, and Tyrann Mathieu basically create a Bermuda Triangle in the middle of the field on defense.
Yeah, with the Chiefs draft this year, you know, here's the thing. They played in the nickel. I mean, the nickel was their original depth chart. You know, it matters now. I mean, the new age – Tyrann Mathieu is the new age guy. Can you cover and can you come up and support the run? I mean, this is becoming where it's going.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrann Mathieu played so much in the slot last year. He was so good at it, and he should continue to operate there. If you got Jamal Adams, you would put him in the box more. You'd play him in the box more. You'd play Juan Thornhill deep. These three actually would complement each other extremely well. But, I think you can do without Jamal Adams if you need him, especially because, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, yes, he operates a lot in the slot. That's probably where he's been best. But he does so much more than that. He's capable of doing a variety of different things for you.
All right, Kent, are you sitting down?
I am.
Okay. No sharp objects around you?
I can put some away real quick if you need me to.
Okay. NFL on CBS tweets out 2 hours ago, if Patrick Mahomes retired today, would you vote him into the Hall of Fame?
I have takes. Can I share these takes?
You share your takes, and then I'm going to tell you what Frank Schwab said.
Okay. I have some takes here because this conversation's come up a few times for me in the last few months. I think the argument for people when they say Patrick Mahomes shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame yet based on his current production is, well, he doesn't have, you know, enough years under his belt. Okay, so if we just extrapolate, let's give Patrick Mahomes 430 touchdown seasons, 4,000 yard seasons without an MVP, without a Super Bowl ring. That's probably enough. That's like enough for some people. I don't think you can tell the story of the National Football League already in 2 years of Patrick Mahomes playing without him. He has done things that are unprecedented. He has taken the league by storm. Someone replied to me when I tweeted out about this. Patrick Mahomes already has two jerseys in the National Football League Hall of Fame. He already has a couple of there. They can't tell the story without him. I know it sounds crazy, and I know some people want longevity and statistics. You cannot tell the story of the National Football League without Patrick LeVon Mahomes.
And he's already got 11 home runs in just 29 games in our virtual Royals season as well, Kent. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, Yahoo Schwab, he says this. I'm going to just leave this here, he says. There are 13 men to win a regular season MVP and a Super Bowl MVP, and this backs up your point. Nine of these are in the Hall of Fame, so they've won an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, Marcus Allen, Emmitt Smith, Steve Young, Terrell Davis, John Elway, and Kurt Warner. Okay? So those guys, those nine are already in, all right? And there's only 13 men to do it. Three of them are Hall of Fame locks in Manning, Brady's, and Rodgers. So that's 12 of them. The 13th is Mahomes. So the 12 other guys that have won an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP are in Canton.
Right. And if people can't, like, if we're just waiting, like, if you just give him four more statistical years, I mean, you're just knocking him for being the best player in the world for, you know, two straight years too quick. If he just is average the next 4 years and puts up enough stats to kind of get into that conversation, it's unprecedented what he's done in such a short amount of time. And just because he's done it, like, it's like normalizing. If you don't believe that Patrick Mahomes is almost a lock or a lock to make the Hall of Fame, it's just you're normalizing how incredible what he's done to this point is, because it's unprecedented what this young man has done before he turns the age of 25. He's gonna have a Hall of Fame career stat line, an unquestioned Hall of Fame career stat line before the age that Kurt Warner took the starting job for the Rams at 28. Like, by the age 28, he is going to be just an absolute mortal lock.
Let me ask you this. We're talking to Kent Swanson, at Kent_Swanson, lead draft and film analyst for Arrowhead Pride. And, man, it just seems like yesterday he and I were talking draft, because that's what happens with a virus and quarantine. We close our eyes and the Super Bowl's done. All of a sudden we're getting ready for training camp, Kent. That's how things work. All right, Mahomes is 24. He doesn't seem like me to be a guy that walks away from this game early. He just doesn't. He seems like a guy that loves the game. That's the new question at the draft. How much do you love the game? He qualifies as a major check mark that he loves the game, loves playing it, loves his teammates. All right, he plays 16 more years. I say he can win 5 Super Bowl rings at this point. He's already got one, probably more, because I think he'd win a ring once every election cycle, every 4 years. So if you say if Pat plays 16 more years till he's 40, which we see more and more quarterbacks playing at 40, and he wins one ring every election cycle, which he can easily do, that would be that. And keep in mind, he could shorten that up and he could win 2 in a row at some point too. Is that far-fetched?
Not far-fetched. And I think he could be well on his way and really ahead of schedule by the end of next season, if there is a season. I think the Chiefs are really primed right now to win a Super Bowl before Patrick Mahomes' big contract hits. I think this year, you know, they're very obviously the betting favorites, but the more I think about what's going on, the addition of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, man, this might be as strong of a favorite as you've seen in the National Football League to win a ring. So he might be well ahead of schedule by, like, this time next year.
If things were normal, they would still be favorites. But the mere fact that you haven't had OTAs, you've been doing these visual workouts and everything, the fact that this team knows each other, knows the timing, knows the precision, knows the playbook, puts this team at even more of an advantage with this COVID thing than just regular. They'd have a ton of advantage. This gives them a new advantage.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked, you know, it's been a while since we've really put, you know, hashtag run it back in the forefront, but it's just, it's an unprecedented amount of talent back. I mean, and continuity is just going to be unreal. Like, it's all these guys are going to hit the ground running. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as the first-round pick of the Chiefs, one of the things that, you know, very obviously he's going to be able to step in a lot quicker than maybe a different position that a first-round pick might be able to, because running back is a very translatable spot where, you know, a lot of things that he learned at LSU, he's admitted, are going to translate really nicely. So you're going to, you know, get still a talent injection. Most of it is, the majority of this is just coming back from the same football team that, you know, won a Super Bowl. But you're still going to be a little bit of help coming with a guy like Edwards-Helaire and some of the other rookies as the season goes along. But they're going to hit the ground running, and that should be scary for the National Football League, especially with the added layer offensively with Edwards-Helaire.
The voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, comes on each week with Fesco in the Morning, and he was talking about this being the best Chiefs team ever. Now, I will say this, that 69 team that won a ring has 9 members in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, 6 of them from the defensive side. Take your biases away, Kent. Is this the best Chiefs team we've ever seen?
Man, it's tough. And it's hard to contextualize that generation, because that team was absolutely loaded, and I don't want to take anything away from them. And I think maybe if you looked at the entire, you know, construction of the roster, I think it's going to be hard to argue against that 69 team. But, you know, in this era, having the trump card, which is the best, you know, player in the world, it's also hard to deny that team as well. I think I'd probably, just as a whole, if you're talking 1-53, it's probably the 69 team. But if you're talking, you know, toe-to-toe best player, it's going to be Mahomes in the landslide over Lenny. I'm sorry.
I'm shocked they didn't win more rings. 9 people associated with that team in the Hall of Fame, including the coach, Hank Stram. It's crazy.
Think that think that's extremely Kansas City, though. I mean, not winning more rings than they should, that sounds about right for our history, buddy.
Kent, last thing for you. This is from our text line. Think you can squeeze in a question asking Swanson who his favorite receiving target in high school was? I'll preface this. Was Kent's a former quarterback and a former college quarterback. Obviously, this is somebody that knows you, and if you say the wrong answer, it might piss them off.
In high school?
They're asking who your favorite receiving target. This could go one way or the other for you. Either you get this person right or they'll hate you.
Oh, no, I got it. Shout out Chewy Abel.
Okay.
Me and Chewy were out there. We were doing some things back in the day. It's been a while. It's been almost 15 years. But, yeah, we were out doing some stuff back then.
All right, I just had to ask you because I just want to put you on the spot there, you know, and you'd have to deal with this later.
Yeah, I'm going to await some DMs or some texts here to see who I have scorned.
Thanks a lot, Kent. Good talking to you again, my man. There you go, Kent Swanson right there at Kent_Swanson, arrowheadpride.com. Some good stuff from Kent there. And find some of this stuff interesting. I like these debates. They're kind of like barstool debates, Kramer. And it's good to see bars open again so we can have these debates again at bars.
You got to like it, don't you?
And we're going to have a big one this fall. Is it Brady or Belichick? I had this argument with Alex Gold before. And he says it's not fair because, you know, Brady's older. I said, no. Say whatever you want, fair or unfair. It's going to be one of the topics of discussion, the chicken or the egg, Brady or Belichick this year.
Just imagine the next maybe 10 to 15 years. Is it going to be Pat or Andy?
We'll see, because I think Pat has a chance to win a few more rings. I think he can win one with another coach, and I think he will. It's going to be interesting.
I want Andy to coach forever. I love that man.
Oh, he's the best, man. He is simply the best. I had a conversation with Gene Taylor, the athletic director of Kansas State, about a variety of different things. Will football be back? How many fans will be in the stands? Dealing with quarantine from an athletic director's perspective, something new on his plate that a lot of athletic directors are facing. We'll have that next.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Well, we've heard from several of the ADs around the Big 12 and locally with Kansas and Missouri, but had an opportunity to catch up with Gene Taylor today, the athletic director of Kansas State, about how he's dealing with this. And keep in mind, 8 athletes at Kansas State University have tested positive. What do they plan on doing that? How does football look in the fall? You name it. Had an opportunity to talk to Gene Taylor earlier today. Pleased to be joined by the athletic director at Kansas State University, Gene Taylor. Mr. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me on. Hope you guys are doing well and appreciate you having me on.
Weird times, Mr. Taylor. I'll tell you this for sure. I mean, a weird time for you. Athletic directors' jobs are, you know, to put a schedule, hire coaches, try to raise money, facilities, and then all of a sudden you have pandemic thrown on your lap, and you have a long, illustrious history in athletics going back to Navy and North Dakota State. What's this been like for you?
You know, I think for all of us, everything from coaches to administrators to conference commissioners, and it's just so different. And there's nothing that we've ever encountered that even comes close to this in terms of, you know, shutting full seasons down and the safety factor and how do you keep your athletes safe and all the steps to make that work. And there is no book, there is no manual out there, and we're kind of inventing the manuals as we go along. And so it's a challenge, and you know, but we're all going through it together, and I guess that does help a little bit. Is when you get on a Zoom call or a conference call, you got a lot of people in the room that to share ideas with.
I'll tell you what, if I don't do another Zoom call, I'll be happy. To be honest with you, you know, it's not funny, but it kind of is in a way how baseball is trying to, you know, get back, and you know, instead of Zoom calling each other, they actually met face to face, and that's how we used to do business, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think now that we have a few people back, particularly football coaches and some of our senior staff, we have obviously a large conference room, and we have a couple of them. And so we can get in the room and social distance and wear our mask and those kind of things. So it is nice to have a face-to-face conversation. It is a lot easier. But yeah, I'm telling you, I never knew what Zoom was until about March or so when all this hit.
I had to explain it to my 70-year-old parents the other day. They had never, of course, Zoomed. And I had to explain it to them. And I think we're all learning a lot about each other, Mr. Taylor. You know, I've done high school football in this town for a long time. I've been pretty active with it. And I have a friend that's a high school teammate of mine. And his son is a senior that's being recruited at the Division I level, and including places like North Dakota State at the 1AA. But the interesting thing about it is it's just different. You know, it's Zoom calls. It's doing things completely different. And I think when you look at the high school athletes going to Division I programs, this whole face-to-face is turned in to Zoom and social media. And I think this has kind of changed athletic departments all the way around, from recruiting to scheduling to wondering if you're going to have a season or not.
No, you're right, and I think it's. I feel bad for the young athletes that are being recruited, because they don't, at least as of now, up until this point, they would have been able to get on campus. They would have been able to interact with the coaches. They would have been able to come to a camp, and so but they're needing to make a decision based on just what they've had over the phone or a Zoom call or a FaceTime call, walk around the facilities. And, you know, again, I know how difficult it was for us to walk in to our spring sports athletes and tell them their seasons were canceled. And, you know, when we had to tell the basketball teams, I'm sorry, your conference tournament's canceled. I don't want to do that to our fall sports, but, you know, unfortunately, if we can't get things under control and have all the right medical things in place, you know, that may happen. We're planning for a season, but you just never know.
And I think it's one of the appeals of Kansas State. I love the town of Manhattan. I think that's a big selling point, and I love the facilities they have at Kansas State. And I know a lot of schools are proud of their facilities they have, and not having people there, I think, is a disadvantage. You have to work on your phone skills, so to speak. Speaking of safety, Kenny Leno there from Kansas State Athletics sent out an email just yesterday, and it said 8 Kansas State athletes had tested positive for COVID. Out of 130 cases. So, and I guess that's a bit concerning.
Yeah, you know, we knew the possibility was going to exist that we were going to have, you know, one or two kids come back and either test positive for various reasons. Maybe they came from a hot spot. But we know how our kids are, right? They're young kids. They haven't seen each other for months. And so they get together as buddies, and they, you know, go to each other's apartments, or because they're waiting to, you know, get into our facilities until they go through the testing, they went over to somebody's apartment and worked out together. And so we felt that if one got it, it could jump to a couple others, and that's exactly what's happened. And, you know, again, they're young kids seeing their buddies and wanting to, you know, hang out and
sure,
probably not wearing the mask and doing the things we told them to do. So, yeah, we've got to get it under control, and we will. And, you know, now those kids are quarantined, and well, those kids are isolated, and the ones they came in contact with are quarantined, and we'll, you know, see how it goes over the next 10 to 14 days. But, yeah, every place in the country, as their athletes are coming back, they're having positive tests, and it's just because they want to get together with their buddies, and then they have to just be careful when they do.
Yeah, and pro sports teams are having a hard time, you know, the NBA with their bubble that they're going to do, and the NFL, they're still talking, what are they going to do? They can delay the season, they going forward with it. Where do we stand now with Kansas State going forward in football in the fall? We've heard of Kansas or of Iowa State going to allow half capacity at some point. I don't know what the latest on that is, but I'd seen where their season ticket holders could go to the game. Is there any plans in place for Kansas State purposes as far as the fans are concerned, the capacity and what you're planning on this fall?
Yeah, well, obviously we're, you know, planning on moving forward to play a game September 5th, and that's why we're putting all the safety measures in within our teams in terms of testing and protocol and all that stuff. And, you know, internally we're working on our fan safety measures, hand sanitizers and masks for our ticket takers and ushers and all the things that you would expect in terms of, you know, making sure that when they enter the stadium they have enough room to enter, and gates are taken care of and all those things, and, you know, concession lines are monitored. we don't have the final plan put together. We're still talking about it. And as of right now, we don't know what our fan capacity is. We got to work with our county folks and see what their comfort level is and then ultimately with the university. But, you know, we're going to work very hard to have as many folks in here as we can from a safety perspective. But it won't be a full stadium. I can probably guarantee that's the one thing that won't happen is a full stadium. How much of a stadium was yet to be determined.
You know, it's weird how this works out, and I've kind of wondered what pro teams would do or, you know, what the ticket prices would go to with people demanding to get in to watch the Chiefs, the world champion Chiefs, what they're going to do. But isn't it weird how our life just kind of came to a halt? I mean, you're learning more about yourself and how you're doing business, and I think, you know, as people, you know, everybody's been laid off. I mean, I didn't have a show for a while. I mean, I think we're all going through this together. It just seemed like life was going around so smoothly, and then, boom, this halted us and put us into uncharted waters we're not used to, and we're still trying to figure out as we go because there's no blueprint, as you say. We can't go to Barnes & Noble and buy a book on this.
Yeah, and that's you know, I think there are going to be things out of all of this, whenever normal returns, whatever normal is, that we'll look back and say, you know, we didn't really need to live this way. We didn't really need to, you know, from our perspective, we didn't need to operate like this. We can do without this. And there'll be some things we can do without. Some things will come back. I think the belt tightening, whether it's in businesses or in athletic programs, will continue even once we get back to, you know, full capacity stadium. And I don't know that we'll ever have full capacity, because I think there's always going to be a fraction of fans that say, you know, sitting at home, which we've already seen, right? I mean, more and more people are finding it easier to stay at home. We want all the fans to come. But so, yeah, I think there's going to be some adjustments, some good and some things that we realize. You know, family time's been awesome. And I think that's one thing we kind of, you know, our lives get so busy. So those, you know, there'll be some good things, and then there'll be some things we'll be like, okay, we can do it differently. But it has stopped us all to take a step back and think a little bit. Hope everybody's been able to be safe through it all.
Mr. Taylor, on a personal note, was there anything you learned about yourself or how to do? Any woodworking you did? Or I had to learn. I don't know how to cook, so I attempted to watch YouTube. And I said, you know what? All this free time, I'm going to try to cook. Is there anything that you did that you don't normally do and say, you know what? I'm going to try this.
Well, you know, it was fortunate. My son was home. Obviously, he goes to school in South Dakota. He plays football up there. And my daughter has been at home. And then we had a nephew here that had to get out of where he was at. And then one of my daughter's friends had to come and work from here. And so we had a house full, and we just kind of, you know, started sharing meals and who came up with a meal. And then my son wanted a smoker, and he learned to smoke, you know, various cuts of meat, and he helped me learn that. So, but I'm not a big cooker or a big craft guy, but I think just taking on those interests was, we did have some COVID purchases that I don't know that we would have had without it. So.
I tell you what, it showed me, and I've been talking about it a little bit today, how much I miss sports. I mean, I can only watch so many, you know, RV shows and log cabin living shows. I needed some sports, and I'm glad we got some NASCAR back and UFC. But I just, you know, I miss the crack of the bat, and I miss going out to the ballpark. And it's amazing how big sports, and you're obviously a big sports guy yourself in the profession you're in, but it's just so weird not having sports.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. Two things. One, I was on a run the other day, and we had a little park. We'll have a park near our house, so they have a lot of younger kids, you know, soccer and baseball now. Baseball's out there. And I literally stopped and watched little kids baseball for about five minutes, and it was just fun to see them running around. And then a friend of mine in Arizona, I talked to her the other day, and she's not a huge sports fan. You know, she'll turn it on, I'll watch a little bit, but she doesn't, you know, sit around Saturdays watching football games. But she goes, man, I just never realized how much I miss sports. I didn't watch it that much, but now without it, I really miss it. So, yeah, you're right. It's kind of interesting.
It's a big part of our life, and it's a big part of, you know, people traveling to K-State. It's such a wonderful game day environment there. You know, people out tailgating, and it's kind of what we do, you know, doing that, yeah. Going to the game. I mean, people, you know, don't go to the – you have choices. Either you belong to a golf course or you have a lake house, and if you're fortunate enough, you can do all these things. But if not, people give it up, and football is their thing, and they travel in their RVs to the various towns across the Big 12, and this becomes something they do in a livelihood, and And, it caused a lot of people to kind of change what they do because it's become such a big part of our lives.
Yeah, and that's why I think all of us across the country, no matter what level of football it is, like I said, my son plays in a D2 program mm-hmm. in South Dakota, and it's in that small town. I mean, they love their, their football. They love their basketball. They come out in reasonable numbers, big numbers for them. And they, we need it. I think that's why we want to do everything we can. The players want to play. The athletes want to play. They work really hard at their craft to be able to play in front of crowds. So, that's why I'm hopeful that we get this thing under control. And whether it's a half a stadium or a quarter of a stadium or whatever the number is, the fans do get a chance to enjoy. And if they're not here in the stadium, at least they can watch it at home and cheer on their favorite team. And you're right, it's a weekend lifestyle for many programs across the country. There's no question about it.
Mr. Taylor, I'll leave you with this. 8 wins last year for Chris Klieman. I was a huge fan of what he did at North Dakota State. He's been nice enough to come in here to the station because we carry Kansas State Athletics here. And I'm excited what he can do in year two. Year one was very impressive, but year two, let's see what he can do. I'm expecting even better things.
Yeah, I think he's obviously, biased, but he's done a great job. It's tough to come in and replace a guy like Coach Snyder, such a legend, and what he's done for our program over the years, and for Chris to come in and handle that pressure and stress. But I think you're right. I think the talent we have coming back, and there are some holes we need to fill, but he's done a great job in his staff recruiting. So I'm excited about the year and hope we can get 12 full games in. That would be a great opportunity.
Well, thanks a million, Gene Taylor, Athletic Director of Kansas State. Good catching up with you and kind of seeing the unusual predicament you guys are in, which, I don't envy it. This is not on your in your list of duties that you thought you'd have, and you guys are handling it extremely well. Thanks a lot, Mr. Taylor.
Thanks for having me on, and we'll all get through this together, that's for sure.
All right, thanks, sir. There's Gene Taylor, the Athletic Director at Kansas State University. Don't forget, after I'm off here in a couple minutes, Josh Vernier comes your way with Vern's Hot Stove, which Ryan LaFever, one of his guests tonight. So you can hear one of the voices of the Royals on with Vern, and they'll discuss the latest, which really the MLBPA kind of counterproposed what the owners had said. They want 70 games. The owners want 60, so haggling over the amount of games. But I will say this, Kramer. The Royals put out notices, their organizational awards. This is a very good year for the Royals. You know why? Because the minor leagues are where the talent's coming from. And last year, the Royals had 4 teams win championships in the minor leagues. Didn't know if you're aware of that, but the Dominican Royals won. Their Dominican Royals, one team won their championship. The Wilmington Blue Rocks, they came in and won the title as well. And then you had the Low A Lexington Legends, back-to-back South Atlantic League champions. And then you had the Idaho Falls Chuckers winning the Pioneer League. So 4 different leagues have won, and some of their award winners. Khalil Lee got the George Brett Award, which recognizes the top position player in the organization. Chris Bubich was recipient of the Paul Splittorff Award, which recognizes the top pitcher in the organization. MJ Melendez was part of that 2018 Wilmington title team and part of the 2019, Lexington and Wilmington. Isn't it weird, or not weird, but these guys won titles in Lexington? Is it any surprise they won a title in Wilmington the next year? It would have been Northwest Arkansas winning one this year, and probably in the Texas League, then you probably would have seen the Omaha Storm Chasers win the PCL here in 2 years.
It seems like it's just carrying along with these players of how good they're going to be. And at some point, I think they're going to be in the majors. And now you just got to think they're going to carry that, keep on going. Let's keep on trucking.
Nick Heath, recipient of the Willie Wilson Base Runner of the Year. Nick Heath had 60 stolen bases in the minor leagues. And the highest single season total by a Royals minor league since Terrence Gore had 68. In 2013. As a matter of fact, Nick Heath led all organizations of baseball from the pros on down in stolen bases. Foster Griffin, recipient of the Mike Sweeney Award, which recognizes a player who best represents the organization on and off the field. Brooks Conrad, recipient of the Dick Houser Award, which recognizes a player development employee for outstanding contributions. Freddie Fermin, recipient of the Carlos Fontana Award, which recognizes a player who's dedicated to improving his English, work ethic, and conduct. So congratulations to the Royals, and of course, can't parlay it because no minor league baseball. Because we don't have that, Kramer. Anyway, the future is bright for this Royals team. And Josh Vernial will have an hour talking that. Plus, I'll be over there, and you'll be joining me later. Virtual Royals tonight, game 76 in Seattle.
Big game in Seattle.
Royals would have played Seattle Mariners today. They would have been coming off a road trip to Texas at Globe Life Park, heading to T-Mobile to play the Mariners for four, before hitting the midway point in the season Tuesday in Colorado. Would have been a 10-game road trip for the Kansas City Royals had they been playing baseball.
Bink, I know as long as me and you, we miss baseball. I know I can actually speak for you for that, for at least once, because we've been reporting it.
I don't like you speaking for me, but that you can, yeah.
Like, I wish baseball was back, Binkley.
I know. But at least, if you have some time, go back and listen to the Fesco in the Morning. They do the anniversary for the 2015 Royals. Nothing better than this with Hosmer.
Next morning, we had a 7 o'clock bus to catch our flight back to Kansas City and all that. So we get on the bus, and, you know, I start to go lean my head back, try and get a little nap before the plane. And Johnny Gomes just comes walking right up to me and smacks me right in the chest. And he's like, "Hey, man, champs don't sleep," and hands me two beers. And he's like, "Let's go. Let's get after it."
That's right, man. They've been partying since 4 or 5. They're on the bus at 7 a.m., which seems a little early for me, Kramer, to be honest with you. You're partying until 4 or 5 a.m., and you just won a world championship. Might have let them sleep in a little bit. So there's Hosmer trying to catch some shut-eye, man. There's Johnny Gomes punching him in the chest, handing him two beers, and say, "Champs don't sleep." That's the stuff I'm here for. That's the stuff. Thanks for Kramer Sansone producing the operation. Fern's Hot Stove, next.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.